Welcome to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with Father John Horgan, a program about the men and women the Holy Father has brought to the altar as blessed. And now here's Father John Horgan.
Hello and welcome to Blessed Among Men and Women, a continuing series on the new saints and blesseds who've been raised to the honors of the altars by Pope John Paul II. My name is Father John Horgan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, and I am your host for this series. In every age of the Church's life, men and women stand out as witnesses of Christ's love and power. The witnesses par excellence to the power of Christ working through our own human weakness and bringing us to the praise of the Trinity are martyrs. The word martyr means witness. Now, we associate the martyrs with death, with their death for Christ, for the sake of the gospel. One cannot die a martyr's death unless one has lived a martyr's life, the life of a witness, the life of one who has been changed by Christ, made a new creature, recast in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Trinity dwells within us and makes our life a life of praise and of love. The early martyrs of the Church were the first saints venerated by the earliest Christians, but martyrs continue to stand forth in every age, in every time, and in every place. Today we want to speak about one of the groups of martyrs of our own century, a group of Passionist priests and brothers who died for the faith in 1936 during the time of the Spanish Civil War. During the First World War of this century, between 1914 and 1918, thanks to its neutrality, Spain enjoyed a period of great economic growth. Politically, however, there were many crises because of the weakness of the constitutional monarchy and frequent changes in the government. These changes eventually brought about a new government which was not favorable to the Church. Indeed, it was anti-church and anti-clerical. And this anti-clerical climate was institutionalized and formalized in a new constitution that was published on December 9th in 1931. Under the guidance of Manuel Azaña y Díaz, the Spanish government decreed, in the midst of fiery anti-clerical speeches, the separation of church and state. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, were dissolved. A law of civil divorce was promulgated, and religious were prohibited from engaging in any teaching whatsoever, and the control of worship and places of worship was left to local authorities. The Vatican, the Holy See, through its nuncio, Archbishop Tedeschini, tried to establish a dialogue with the Republican government, and the Spanish Episcopate intervened in 1933 collectively because of these anti-clerical, anti-confessional laws. Pope Pius XI, on the 3rd of June, 1933, published his own encyclical, Delectissima Nobis, on the grave situation that the Church was faced with in Spain. But all of these attempts at dialogue, reconciliation, and an ongoing relationship remained in vain. The Socialist Party's newspaper had the effrontery to write, in 1931, "We must destroy the Church and cancel from all consciences its infamous influence." A number of other journals echoed the sentiments of the Socialist Party and newspaper and began to paint the Catholic Church as the enemy of the people, the enemy of a Republican government, an immensely rich and oppressive church. A revolution took place in the Asturias in 1934 against a Republican government, and this produced the first victims among priests and religious. The successive elections in February of 1936 brought a new leftist parties into control and coalized the so-called Popular Front. To mobilize the people against the Church and its institutions, Freemasonry, anarchists, and the radical socialists began their own movement, raising up all kinds of falsehoods against priests and religious, depicting them as monsters who committed horrible crimes against the people. As time went on, during the Civil War itself, armed citizens, who were called militia members, oftentimes simply shouted out, "There goes a priest, there goes a sister," and it was enough to bring about a round of gunfire. Today we're talking about a group among the first martyrs who fell in the Spanish Civil War. But for a moment, let us look at the numbers of those who gave their lives. Before July 18, 1936, 17 priests and religious had already been killed. Between the 18th and the 31st of July, 861 suffered and died for the faith and for their vocation. In the month of August, 2,077 priests and religious, among whom there were 10 bishops, were killed for the faith by their own countrymen. Between the 18th of July of 1936 and April 1st of 1939, the Spanish Church, among its consecrated men and women, will count 6,832 victims, among them 4,184 priests and diocesan seminarians, 2,365 religious men, and 283 sisters. Many of these martyrs have already been declared blessed by Pope John Paul II, and for many others, the cause of beatification and canonization has already been introduced. Among the first monasteries that became a target of the civil militia was that of Daimiel, which is not too far from Ciudad Real in New Castile. This monastery was sanctified by the lives of 31 Passionists, priests, students, and lay brothers, who were intent only on their own sanctification and the good of the people whom they served. In those days, the provincial of the area, Father Nicephorus of Jesus and Mary, was making his canonical visit, and because of this, he too was among those chosen to shed his blood for Christ. Father Nicephorus was born in 1893. At 13, he had been admitted to the Passionist Minor Seminary, at 15 to the novitiate, in which he was distinguished for his religious and devout behavior, and in 1909 made his profession. He studied for the priesthood, not only in Spain, but also in Mexico and in Chicago in the United States, where he was ordained to the priesthood on June 17, 1916, at the age of 23. Following his ordination, Father Nicephorus was sent by his superiors to the convent of St. Clair in Cuba, that he might teach school, preach, confess, and direct the choir. Between 1921 and 1926, Father Nicephorus was sent to Mexico so that he might attend full-time to the work of popular missions and to spiritual exercises for religious communities, because he had been given a special grace by God as a preacher and had wonderful abilities to speak about the truths of our faith. The Passionist Order had been founded by St. Paul of the Cross in order to keep alive in the minds and hearts of Catholic men and women the Passion of Jesus. For this reason, the religious wear a black habit and on their chest a white heart surmounted by a cross with the words, "The Passion of Jesus Christ," and three nails to signify the sufferings of Christ. The religious life of the Passionist community is a life of prayer, recollection, and penance. But this recollection and these penances are also punctuated by a great devotion to the needs of God's people through retreat work and popular missions. And it was to this life that Father Nicephorus gave himself so generously and so joyfully. When persecution broke out against the church in Mexico, he returned to Cuba, and for the next 6 years was named superior of the convent at Havana. He gave himself over to a very active apostolate in the church there, preaching and confessing daily, because the church was very popular with people in the city of Havana. In 1932, Father Nicephorus returned to his own native Spain, where he was elected provincial counselor. He was asked to found two small houses for the congregation, and he accomplished this work at Barcelona and at Valencia. Elected provincial in 1935, he took up his dwelling at Saragossa. Shortly thereafter, he began the canonical visitation, which is the ordinary visiting that a provincial superior, a major superior, makes, a tour of the religious houses that are entrusted to him, making certain that the apostolate of the various communities is continuing, and that the spiritual life of the priests and brothers is growing, so that their life of grace might be the means and channel of grace for the people of God whom they serve. He arrived at the convent of Demiel a little before the first insurrection of the nationalist forces. From the convent, in July of 1936, he wrote to his provincial counselors, "Here our brethren are all well. They are, however, quite afraid, and at night are not able to sleep at all since the assassination of Sotelo." They had reason to be so afraid, because, in fact, in the middle of the night, between the 21st and 22nd of July, some of the civil militia presented themselves at the door of the monastery and ordered, "By order of the authorities, you have 30 minutes to abandon this house." Father Nicephorus gathered up the 9 priests, 18 students, and 4 lay brothers who made up the community, and had them change their religious habits for civilian dress and come down to the monastery church. He foresaw already that what would follow would be the test of their faith and of their religious life. So, having put on a surplice and stole, and prayed the act of contrition together with the religious, he gave them all general absolution for all their sins, and in turn knelt before the rector of the community to ask for absolution for himself. And then, before distributing Holy Communion with the hosts conserved in the ciborium of the tabernacle, he said in a voice that broke with emotion, "My sons, this is our Gethsemane. Our weak human nature is afraid and fails, but Jesus Christ is here with us. He was comforted by an angel. We are comforted and sustained by Jesus himself. In a short while, we will be with Christ. You who have lived on Calvary here in this house, take courage to die for Christ. It's up to me to encourage you, and I myself am encouraged by your example." Having consumed the sacred species, the provincial told the religious that he let them free to act as seemed to them most proper in the circumstances, and then ordered that the doors of the church might be unbarred, and invited those who acted as directors or superiors to the militia. Some 200 had arrived in a mob before the church doors, to put them to death immediately, if that was what had been decreed. "We will not kill you," they answered. "We'll take you to the train station, where you can go wherever you want. But the people need this monastery." So they were led off, in dark and deserted streets, in double file, to the cemetery of the city. Along the way, each one of them prayed to God and the Holy Virgin that he might have the grace to bear the pain and sufferings of martyrdom. Instead, the militia leaders said to them, "Go, get out of town and never set foot here again, because if you do, your lives will be forfeit." The anger of the people, pushed on by the anti-clerical press, would have brought about the massacre of the priests. Having obtained this unexpected freedom, at the crossroads of the street that led to Bolaños, the Passionists stopped, and after having prayed and been given 25 pesetas each by the provincial, decided to separate themselves into 4 groups and to take 4 different roads in order to reach Madrid, where they would regroup again. 2 of them headed for the railroad station at Campillo, between Daimiel and Almagro. The group led by Father Nicephorus tried to reach Manzanares. The group led by Father Herman of Jesus and Mary, the rector of the students, Ciudad Real. 2 other groups would head one towards Malagon and the other towards Torralba, where they too hoped to eventually regroup and meet again at Madrid. The 2 groups of Passionists who reached on foot the Campillo station in the early hours of the morning of July 22nd received a few rolls from the station master and some food because he saw how weak they were. The exiled religious demonstrated their own gratitude towards him by giving him 4 of the crucifixes which they had hidden under their clothing. With the 10 o'clock train, the group of Passionists led by Father Herman left for Ciudad Real. Towards noon they arrived, but were arrested immediately at the station. Someone telephoned the police saying, "Some priests are here who shoot at the people." Different members of the civil militia tied the Passionists around the neck with ropes and forced them to walk in an Indian file between the shouts of a crowd that hastily assembled to throw rocks and stones and curse the priests. One of these rocks hit one of the students, Joseph Osses of Jesus, and cut open his ear. Not having any documents or paperwork in this time of civil unrest, the chief of police gave order to one of the lawyers, his secretary, to draw up a safe conduct letter, which would show that these were 9 religious from the convent at Daimiel and that they were headed for Madrid and should be molested by no one. To prevent them being lynched at the Ciudad Real station, he had them brought by truck to Malagon so that they could take the 4:30 train to Madrid. Along the way, it was not difficult for the other members of the militia who walked along the streets and who infested the trains and the stations as spies to recognize them by the very safe conduct that they carried. Having arrived at Madrid towards 9 at night at the Carabanchel Bayo station, they were made to descend from the train, and the 9 were shot to death immediately. A certain passerby who later testified said that he saw how serene the religious were. "From what I saw and touched with my hand, I am fully and completely convinced that they were condemned to death by the soldiers from the very first moment that they left their convent." According to the opinion of this eyewitness, they were all martyrs because they had opposed no resistance to their captors, and they were shot simply because they were religious. The group was made up of the following: Father Herman of Jesus and Mary, who had been ordained and served his first years as a priest in the convent of St. John and Paul at Rome, and was rector of students for the seminary at Daimiel. Father Philip of the Heart of Mary, who was the confessor and rector and spiritual director of communities of sisters. Maurilio of the Child Jesus, a seminarian, 21 years old. Joseph of Jesus and Mary, another student, seminarian, 21. Julio of the Heart of Jesus, 21. Joseph Mary of Jesus Agonizing, 20. Laudino of Jesus Crucified, 20. Brother Anacharius of the Immaculate, a 30-year-old lay brother. And Philip of St. Michael, a 21-year-old lay brother, the first of the Passionist Martyrs of Daimiel. In the evening of that same day, the 12 Passionists who had remained at the Campillo with their provincial took a train for Manzanares with the hope of not being recognized as the train sped by night. They were Father Nicephorus of Jesus and Mary, the 43-year-old superior provincial who had been ordained in the United States. Father Ildefonsus of the Cross, 38, director of the students. Father Justinian of St. Gabriel of the Sorrowful Mother, a 26-year-old priest. Brother Euphrasio of Merciful Love, 21-year-old student. Thomas of the Blessed Sacrament, also 21. Joseph of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, 21. Fulgentius of the Heart of Mary, 19. Honorinus of the Sorrowful Mother, 19. Epiphanius of St. Michael, 20. Brother Abilio of the Cross, a 19-year-old seminarian. Zachary of the Blessed Sacrament, 19. And Joseph Mary of Jesus Agonizing, a 20-year-old student. Along the way, the Passionists learned that they were not as free as they thought they were. Those who had thrown them out of their convent followed their movement by telephone. As soon as the train passed beyond Daimiel, which it had had to cross by night, a militia officer warned his colleague at Manzanares, saying, "I'm sending you fresh meat. Don't let it go by. The Passionists of Daimiel are about to arrive in your town." As soon as they arrived at the station, they were arrested, led to the municipal jail, and shut up in cells for the night. In the morning, they were taken back to the station so that they might take the 6 a.m. train for the capital, Madrid. But while the station master was giving them their ticket, one of the self-appointed communist heads of the militia approached and threatened him with gun in hand for having facilitated the flight of the religious from Madrid. Then Father Nicephorus, afraid that the station master would be shot for his charity, for his kindness, threw himself on his knees and begged mercy for the employee, saying that he had only carried out his obligation in selling the tickets. The humble gesture of this holy priest infuriated all the militia who were present and the people around them. In a few moments, they had rounded up the 12 Passionists, dragged them to a nearby field, and then, letting them run through the field, shot them. Father Nicephorus fell to the ground wounded, but with a smile on his lips. One of the assassins turned on him. "Despite everything that's happened, you're still laughing," and fired two shots at point-blank range. Around him lay Father Joseph of the Sacred Hearts, Epiphanius of St. Michael, Abilio, and Zachary of the Blessed Sacrament. It was only several hours later, towards 10 in the morning, that the dead and wounded were picked up and carried off to the Red Cross Hospital. The survivors found themselves surrounded by the kindness and care of the nursing Sisters of Charity, who themselves were in lay clothes, but who identified themselves quickly to the priests and brothers as fellow religious. The only words that the dying men could utter were, "Thanks be to God." Then one of them had to say, "We had much to suffer, but when, while they were bringing us here on stretchers, some of the workers began to beat us with cords, then our souls remained truly wounded." Fulgentius of the Heart of Mary arrived in hospital unconscious. As soon as he died, Father Ildefonsus cried out, "Blessed is he who has received the palm of martyrdom, while it is still fled from our hands." During the night, though he was seriously wounded, the priest dragged himself as best he could from one bed to the next in order to give the dying absolution and the last sacraments. The sisters in the hospital had hidden the Blessed Sacrament to prevent it being profaned by the militia, and so the priest was able to divide the hosts that remained in order to give communion to the dying and to the sisters caring for them. It was their last communion. The next day, the militia at Guadalajara will put to death three Carmelites from the convent of St. Joseph, and they too will become among the proto-martyrs of the Carmelite order during the Spanish Civil War. The Passionist priests remained in the hospital for 3 months, their wounds healing slowly, and with admirable patience and continual prayer, they continued to respond to Christ's grace, desirous now only of giving their lives for him as their confreres had. As soon as they were able to leave their beds, they lent as much help as they could as nurses, as cooks, and even sweeping the floors of the hospital, earning in this way the sympathy of all. At night they would sing, "To die for Christ would be our only joy." The hospital was maintained by the militia and constantly surveyed by them. They were waiting only for the right moment to take the Passionists off and finish their work. Every once in a while, together, the priests were threatened with pistols. The religious, worthy sons of St. Paul of the Cross, rather than let themselves be depressed or lose faith by this brutal treatment, continued their prayers and their sacrifices and grew in love for their own enemies. On the 23rd of October, at the Manzanares Hospital, another truck appeared with an order to take the 6 remaining Passionists to Ciudad Real. They arrived at the city hall towards noon. One of the militia asked the prefix, "What are we supposed to do with them?" And the answer was, shoot them. The order was carried out immediately, and not far from the place of their first martyrdom. The third group of Passionists who had taken the road for Bolaños and decided to continue the road for Malagon was made up of Father Peter of the Heart of Jesus, a 29-year-old priest, Felix of the Five Wounds, 21, and Benedict of the Virgin of the Pillar, also 21 years old, a lay brother. They, too, took the train for Madrid, not knowing that the militia were waiting for them. As soon as they got on the train, they were covered with insults, threats, and beaten, until at Urda, a few kilometers from Malagon, they were forced to get down from the train and were shot immediately near the watering station by the side of the track. The fourth group of Passionists, who had taken the road for Bolaños, had decided to continue on the way to Torralba and eventually take a bus for Ciudad Real. This group was made up of Father John Peter of St. Anthony, who was 46, and by a lay brother, Paul Mary of St. Joseph. Father Peter and Brother Paul tried to find refuge in a pensione of the city that was recommended to them by the Sons of Mary. They said to the innkeeper, "If anyone takes us out of here to put us to death, we ask you not to hate them. The Lord allows this to happen for our own sanctification." Betrayed by a spy, on the 25th of September, the two religious were arrested at 10 in the morning and taken by automobile to the police station. Because they showed that they were religious and admitted freely that they were Passionists, they were brought to the cemetery and immediately shot to death. According to their assassins, they died with the words, "Viva Cristo Rey," on their lips.
Thank you for listening today to the program Blessed Among Men and Women with your host, Father John Horgan.